The testimony to the greatness of this man is that every single person claimed him. Even his arch enemies claimed him. When the news of his bravery and compassion reached Europe, they couldn't believe that a non-white, non-Christian man could be so brave and so compassionate. So myths began to circulate in Europe that actually Salahuddin was the son of a white Christian princess who was taken into captivity, and then she was married off to a man called Malakin, and from that marriage came forth a man called Salahuddin. And on the other hand, many Arabs refused to believe that a non-Arab could be of such great stature. And they traced his lineage back to the tribe of Adnan.
I am proud to be of a community that one of our greatest leaders, Salahuddin Ayyubi, because Salahuddin Ayyubi is a universal man. He's a man that is not just the property of the Muslims. He's the property of anybody that believes in what is true and what is right.
Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah is a figure who captures the imagination of the Muslim world for posterity for his efforts in reviving the deen. But what is amazing is how he was and still is equally idolized and sanctified in the West amongst those who could count as enemies of the ideology he represented. Salahuddin's outstanding personality comes shining through not only in the Muslim chronicles, but also those of the Crusaders. He struck fear into the hearts of his enemies, but that fear was also tinged with admiration, since his conquests were characterized with nobility, chivalry, and decency. By virtue of these characteristics, he stood head and shoulders above the violent norms and flippant attitudes of world leaders of his time. Salahuddin became a legendary figure in the European consciousness, and often glorious depictions of him went beyond the framework of objective historical reality. So proverbial was his honesty that a popular ballad of medieval France put the following words in the mouth of a crusader: "We trust Salahuddin because he never lies."
It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam. It makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
William of Tyre, one of the most important chronicler of the Crusaders, Christian chronicler, William of Tyre, he said, any ascendancy in the power of Salahuddin was a cause of suspicion in our eyes, for he was a man who was valiant in war, brave, wise in counsel, and generous beyond measure. This is a crusader saying that about him. He's on the other side of the fence, fighting against him, writing down what they're seeing. Wise in counsel, generous beyond measure, and valiant in war, courage, shuja'a.
Many stories of his chivalry and tender-heartedness have echoed through the ages.
Saladin is famous throughout history for his generosity, his justice, and his ability to inspire his people. This has earned him respect on the Christian side and the Muslim side, and there's many stories to illustrate this. There's one story when a Frankish woman has had her baby taken and kidnapped, and it's taken to the Muslim markets and sold. And she's obviously devastated by this. And some of her friends say, well, go to see Saladin. I'm sure he'll help you.
The woman was given a reception by Salahuddin, who heard her agonizing story of the kidnap of a child by Muslim thieves through the medium of an interpreter. Salahuddin was moved by her distress and began crying. He sent a messenger to the marketplace to search for the child who was being sold away. The child was recovered and reunited with the mother in presence of Salahuddin. She threw herself to the ground, rolled her face in the dust, and then raised her eyes to the heavens, uttering prayers that the onlookers could not understand. Salahuddin stood through the whole encounter, looking on with empathy. The Sultan's rich-heartedness extended to enemy figureheads too, such as Richard the Lionheart. When Richard was afflicted by illness, it was Salahuddin who repeatedly sent him fruits and ice, as well as provided him with chickens. Salahuddin honored the wives and daughters of captured crusaders too, and they only had words of praise for him. In fact, the entire crusader project in Muslim lands had the unintended consequence of Europe becoming enriched by its interactions with Muslims and being exposed to a far higher level of civilization and culture. The diplomat Osama bin Munqidh, who had first-hand interactions with the Crusaders, recounts how, instead of using the most advanced medical methods practiced by Muslims for treating conditions such as headaches at the time, Crusaders would have the priests exercise the sickly, and in one case, cut out a piece of the scalp of a patient in the shape of a cross as a treatment. Not surprisingly, it only hastened the patient's demise. In Muslim lands, Christians were also exposed to Greek texts, which the Muslims had translated. They learnt new military tactics. They came to discover sugar. In brief, the experience convinced them that all that was exquisite and advanced came from the East.
They were just amazed by the material culture that they found there. I mean, the quality of the merchandise, the quality of the goods, was far better than anything they could find at home, and they brought it home with them.
We know that they found out the delights of using soap when they were in the Middle East, and it would appear that that caught on back in Europe.
After the Crusades, many Europeans were far more open to the ideas of what was going on to the East, what was happening in other parts of the world. They simply couldn't be as insular as before.
Beyond the occupation and military dimension, the period of the medieval Crusades proved to be a bridge builder between the Arab and European world. It also sparked Orientalism and the European Renaissance. But beyond the positive cultural exchange, Salahuddin was even more keen to impress upon the Crusaders the lofty morality of Islam.
There were situations where when the Crusaders were leaving, the old men were walking, toiling out of the city. They've lived there for generations now, 88 odd years, long time. And the squires, nobility, are leaving Jerusalem with their fine horses. And they tell Salahuddin, look at this, what they're doing. You know what he says? He says, go to them, pull down these squires and nobility off the horses, and these old men, put them on the horses, and make the squires and nobility walk behind them. What business, my dear brothers? Ethics. At least when they go back to Western Europe, they can say we learned some good manners from the Muslims.
Salahuddin became a moral benchmark through which Christians of that era would often deride their own leaders. When Crusaders themselves pillaged the then Christian capital of Constantinople, this benchmark loomed large.
This is a remarkable thing for a crusade to have done, to have sacked the greatest Christian city in the world. And it's something that provokes outrage across many parts of the West, and of course in the Greek world too. And interestingly, one contemporary Greek writer says, look, when Saladin recovered Jerusalem, what did he do? He spared the Christians. And what have you done? You Christians, you've taken a Christian city and you've killed Christians. You should follow the example of Saladin. He was superior to you in the way that he behaved here.
The English historian Mill, he narrates that when Al-Quds was captured, when Salahuddin, he captured Jerusalem, the crusaders who were who had to flee, they fled and they went to the nearby city or country of Antioch. And that was also ruled by a fellow Christian. And they went to him, And they thought that, okay, you know, that now we've gone to a fellow Christian country, they'll look after us. And what did the ruler of Antioch do? He saw these crusaders had come, they had just lost the battle of Jerusalem, they had come to him asking for help. He robbed them, you know, he took their own money. He was a Christian as well, he robbed them of their money, and he kicked them out, you know, said, get out of here, you know. Kicked them out of his country. After he took all their wealth and all that, said, get out. So they started cursing, you know, this ruler. You know, these Christians, they're thinking, look at this, you know, we came to him, our fellow Christian brother, he, you know, he stole our money, you know, we're hungry, we're tired, and he treated us like this. And some of them, you know, they were like starving, they were, you know, they had women, they had children, and their own ruler, he booted them out like that. So what did they do? They returned to Salahuddin. And he looked after them, gave them, you know, Muslim, you know, hospitality, looked after them, attended to their needs, gave them food, whatever, you know, they needed.
The historian Stanley Lane Poole mentioned that if the taking of Jerusalem were the only fact known about Salahuddin, it would have been enough to prove him the most chivalrous and great-hearted conqueror of his own and other ages. Yet, as happens recurrently with the achievements of many other great Muslims, often there is a tendency in the West to glorify them in themselves and ignore the elements that were the lifeblood of their glory. For Salahuddin, this lifeblood was nothing other than Islam, and he was an unapologetic follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salahuddin was not a product of his own making, rather he was a son of Islam, an ideology which produced men and women of indelible esteem prior to him, and which will continue doing so right until the day of Qiyamah. When being awed by the example of Salahuddin, one should never lose sight of the fact that the character being exhibited is none other than the exemplary way of Islam, with its timeless and pristine values.
And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested through the life of Salahuddin rahimahullah, he manifested the example of Islam.
And when he says, I am Salahuddin, he is really saying, I am a man of principles. Mm. And that's what a Muslim should think of today. If I say, I am a Muslim, that means I'm a man of my word. I do not cheat people. I am very fair and just. You can expect that from me and hold me responsible for that.
He's the only Aqeed of the Ahlul Sunnah, the Aqeed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. He is with the Jama'ah, the greatest body of the Muslims. He reflects the Aqeed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he reflects the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In an echo of what happened in Makkah al-Mukarramah during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi does not take vengeance. He ransoms every single soldier. He ransoms every single child and every single woman from the Crusades. This is the example of those who carry the threat abai and carry out the actions in accordance with them. So we find throughout history that the greatest body of the Muslims has shared that same aqidah and has then produced the same fruits as in the time of the Sahaba ikram.